The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Chris Doering will join us coming up at 7:40 as we talk a little college football. But joining us right now is Spencer Carberry. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Coach, when your team scores 8 goals like it did the other night, do you ever have a sense that that's about to happen before a game?
Not at all. Yeah, I felt pretty good about how we were going to play that night. Even though it was a back-to-back in the travel, like, I was pretty confident that our guys would respond from the Pittsburgh game. But to score that amount, especially the way it happened with most of them coming late in the third period and us kind of making a few really nice plays late that end up in the back of the net, I don't think you're ever really, I got a feeling we're going to get 6 or 7 tonight. I think it's just sometimes you get a feeling on you're going to play well.
Yeah, Coach, I saw you reference the travel in that spot is tough on the team. And then you guys come out and hang an 8 spot on Jordan Binnington. What's it like when you're on the other end of that? Like, you're the coach and your goalie's just getting lit up. You got no answers. Like, you don't want to burn your backup goalie at that point because you got to use that guy in the next game or two. Like, what are those emotions like when you're on the wrong side of a beatdown like that?
Well, I think the unique part of the St. Louis game was the game was a lot tighter than the score for majority of the game. It just in the third period, so we were up 3-1 going into the third. So the game very much still in reach for St. Louis. We thought and expected them to push in the third period. We get an early power play and score to make it 4-1. So that sort of gave us a comfortable 3-goal lead, cushion. Okay, we're going to be able to close this thing out. And then all of a sudden, in whatever it was, like, call it an 8-minute span, it was just like goal, 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 goal. And so I think it, as a coach in those spots, you're a little bit caught off guard because you're not even thinking about pulling your goaltender. You're thinking about winning a hockey game. So as you get later in the third period when there's only 6-7 minutes left, usually you're not thinking about, okay, let's pull and put the other guy in. But then all of a sudden it gets to a number that you want to be respectful with your starter. So now I think the end of the day, I think you're just kind of caught off guard at that because that's not how the game script went.
Coach, this is a dorky uniform question, but please humor me here. How often do you guys do blue helmet, blue brain bucket, white sweater, blue pants like you did in St. Louis? And look, if you're going to rip off 8 goals wearing that combo, might want to wear it more often.
So a very clean answer to that is the league just started last year allowing it. Mm. So you're allowed to wear it now where your helmets are not consistent with your jersey color, as long as the team you're playing against, the color, and they've like come up with specific, okay, you can wear it against this team when they're at home, this team, you can't wear it against this team. So as long as it's not close to the home team's dark helmet, then you can do it. So I think we have on the scheduled, don't quote me on this, but I want to say we have two more times where we're going to wear it this year, where we're allowed to wear it, and we are going to.
Excellent.
All right, Coach, so you made news yesterday that you're bringing back an old friend of ours, Lars Eller.
That's what I hear. He used to be on the show.
All the time.
Yeah, weekly. Yep.
Great guy. What was the thinking there? How involved were you in sort of that process and that decision, and what does Lars bring to you guys?
Yeah, I was fairly involved of just having some discussions when this sort of came up, and what I think it does is we're certainly familiar with Lars. He's familiar with, you know, the city, the organization, a ton of the players here. He trains here in the summer. So there's a lot of familiarity there with Lars and his skill set and who he is as a person and the fit into our group. And then as far as where he fits, I think for us, we just identified the center position as, it's funny, in the summer, we felt like we had the questions where, you know, how are you going to fit all these five centermen? But what's happened is Connor McMichael has had a great start to the year and looks fantastic on the left wing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's put him in a spot where we don't want to move him to the middle. He's looking good on the wing. He's got great chemistry. So right now it feels like, to improve, and this is sort of what management thought is to have an opportunity to bring someone in that we're very familiar with that can give us depth at the center position, which is going to be imperative as, you know, injuries come down and the season runs along. This will help quite a bit.
Coach, can you kind of explain what's going on with Ovi? We were talking about him a couple days ago, okay? And he's got 10 goals in 14 games. Last year, Cakes, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Last year, I think it took 45 games for him to get to 10 goals.
Something. Yeah, it was like, I think it was late December. Don't quote me on that, but it was later in the season.
Call it half the season or half the schedule. But in a shooting percentage, and we talked about a shooting percentage a lot last year, right, Coach?
Yeah.
It was just absurd.
Now it's 20% as opposed to 11.4%. Now, I know it's only 14 games, so that'll go down, but he's just off to an unbelievable start. Can you kind of explain what he's doing differently this year? Is he just catching more of the breaks this year, or is there something different about his game that he's scoring so much?
I think there's a couple things. Like, he looks really, really good, has looked good since the start of camp, is moving well. I mean, he might not admit this, and he would say, you know, it was a typical off-season, same training, you know, like I came in with the same mindset. I felt like at the end of last year and the way it ended in the playoffs, and specifically him, I felt like he was highly, highly motivated this offseason when I talked to him and when he talked about his training regimen. And so coming into the year with some of the moves that we made in the offseason, the way the year ended last year in the playoffs against New York, like, I don't know, I just think maybe, again, he may say you're crazy, but I think there's a little bit of a chip and a little bit of added motivation that he's looked excellent from day one of training camp, from game one of the season, even though at the beginning of the year pucks weren't going in for him the first, whatever it was, 3-4 games. But I still think when you dove into the film, like, he looked really good. So I think that, number one. Two is there's some confidence and pucks have gone in as opposed to the other way, like you touched on about the shooting percentage last year. So there's some confidence when goal scorers, pucks start to go in for them. It now snowballs confidence. You feel really good. Every time you touch a puck, you feel like it's going into the back of the net. And then I would probably point to the last point. I feel like the chemistry with Stromer and us making the move to put Protoss up there and moving O to the right side and putting Protoss on his left side because he is a left shot. I feel like the chemistry on that line has been exceptional, and they've been Protoss has added. He's a big guy. He can skate. He goes and gets pucks on the forecheck. He's a great passer and has great vision. So I think the chemistry on the line has helped as well.
Hey, Coach, while we're on the topic of prolific goal scorers, let's score one for an old-school Caps player that was in attendance during the Pens game, during the Pioneers celebration. I don't know if you saw the video of Dennis Marouk, who potted 60 goals for the Caps back in the 81-82 season. He did the in-game Top Shot promo where he had to shoot at 9 lit targets in the goal, 40 seconds on the clock. He nails them all with 15 seconds to spare.
Sign him up.
He's 68 years old with the quick hands still. What a legend. And cool to see, you know, him and the other guys coming back and taking part in the Caps 50th anniversary celebration.
I did hear about it. I heard about it. We talked about it in the coach's office the next day of, about the roar. It was unbelievable. And I didn't know what was going on at the time. We did talk about it, and I met Dennis at the opening weekend and during all the festivities and that, and watched him play in the alumni game. And hey, those numbers, even when they announced the numbers, guys on our bench, like current players, were like, whoa, when they went down his stat line of 60 goals and what he's accomplished in his career. So that was great to see.
All right, so Toronto tonight. First of all, thanks for joining us on a game night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no problem.
Toronto played last night, so it's a back-to-backer. They got shut out. They got shut out.
Tired legs
at home. So I'm sure they'll be pissed. Hey. But Toronto is second in the Atlantic. They've got 20 points as well. So talk about game planning for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, do not for a second take lightly this back-to-back. I don't know if it's just this year or it's just the games that I'm catching or the ones that we're involved in. But I feel like this is whether it's just coincidence or teams underestimating opponents on back to backs. It happened to us against Pittsburgh on Friday night, and then we go to St. Louis. We're on a back to back. They're rested,
and you roll and up eight on them. Yep, that's true.
We just need to be careful and understand that you're going to get a to the point that you made, a pissed off team from the way things went on home ice against Ottawa for them last night. So I don't think we're going to be getting any 75% quote unquote Toronto tonight. It'll be a tough matchup. They're a great team. I don't know if Matthews is going to play tonight, but they still have a ton of firepower with Marner, Nylander, and throughout their lineup. So we're going to need to be ready.
Hey, Coach Carbs, let's clap it up for the Blue Liners. Caps defensemen have combined for 7 goals through the first 14 games this season. In all of last season, they combined for 20 goals. And that's with Chychrun and Matt Roy missing substantial time as well. So, I mean, you have to be thrilled with that offensive production from your defensemen at this point.
Yeah, I think our D deserve a ton of credit for what they've been able to do to enable us to be a lot more productive offensively, and whether pucks are going in the net or they're doing things that are leading to goals for our forwards, I think they've been instrumental in us being able to produce at a lot higher clip offensively. And we're going to need that. You need, in this day and age, you need your defensemen to contribute. They don't necessarily need to score, but to give you help in the rush and be able to give you productive pucks in the offensive zone. And they've been doing a great job of that thus far.
Hey, Coach, quick golf clap here to the Golden Knights. Thank you, Vegas Golden Knights, for trading us Logan Thompson, who's 7-0-0, stopped 24-25 shots against the Blues. I mean, he's on frickin' fire.
Yeah, we feel good about both guys. Like, Logan's, they both have been good, and they're going back and forth, and we've sort of alternated them. And I think I said this to you guys earlier in the year, like, I think it just gives us, I know they don't love it. They want to play every night, but it gives us an ability to make sure guys are very well rested and the freshest they can possibly be in a grind of a season, playing back to backs, 3 and 4s. And Logan's been fantastic. Chucky's also been right there with him. I know he hasn't won as consistently, but played really solid against Pitt. Didn't get the win. So we're, feel really good about that position.
All right, Coach, keep it going. Best of luck tonight against Toronto.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yep. All right, thank you, buddy. Spencer Carbery, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Coming up next, we'll dive into Commanders, their matchup against the Eagles on Thursday night as we hit the skins here on the Junkies. Time to hit.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Skins brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. You need to hit the skins right now. You can grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
All right, guys. Obviously, massive game this Thursday. Coming on the heels of blowing a 10-point lead to the Steelers. Disappointing loss, but a little bit encouraging because it was, clearly wasn't their best game. They're catching the Eagles at a tough time. They're on a roll, so this will be difficult. But I do think we don't have to panic. Either way, the schedule is, I think, somewhat favorable. One of the aspects of this game that we've talked about is the Jahan Dotson factor and some interesting comments from him, actually. He's had a very limited impact. I think he's got like 8 catches for like, what, maybe 120 yards, something like that, on the season for Philadelphia.
It's less than that. I don't even think he's hit 100.
But they asked him about, the deal when he was traded. He does admit that he was kind of shocked that, you get special ties to the team that drafts you. But after a few days, he said he was over it and he was ready to move on. But when they asked him about the team in general, he says... He still has a ton of respect for them. He says, quote, "You have a great coached team, a great leader of men," he said of Dan Quinn. "If you can implement the right kind of mindset, the right kind of culture, you can do a lot of great things, and that's kudos to Coach Quinn. He's doing a fantastic job. He knows how to grab the room. He makes it very easy for people to listen to him and do what he asks. And they have some fantastic players over there. They're putting players in some good positions to make plays." He also was asked about Jaden and about whether or not they knew if he was going to start the season. He says, oh, they knew. 100% they knew. He says, I knew he was special in college. I got to train with him a couple of times before he even got drafted. I knew he was a great player, and now it's time for the world to see.
There's a chance he might play a more prominent role. If you look at Devontae Smith, now I think he'll play, but they list him as having a hamstring injury. He was limited in practice on Monday. Not sure if he practiced yesterday, but...
I think he was limited in practice yesterday.
Dotson could play a more prominent role against his former team on Thursday.
Nick Sirianni said Dotson's targets could start to increase because he has had a couple recent big plays, right? There was one catch that people were talking about from a couple weeks ago. He said, Jahan is used to in college, even at Washington, 5, 6, 7 targets a game. Maybe you're only going to get 1, 2, or 3 here. What are you going to do with those opportunities? But he says, I think guys that take advantage of their opportunities are the ones that get rewarded with more opportunities.
He's basically, he's De'Ami Brown on the Eagles. He's kind of like De'Ami Brown here. Like De'Ami Brown doesn't get a lot of opportunities. Like when you get the ball thrown to you in the end zone and you're uncovered, you better make that catch.
Yeah.
Like that's the sort of role that Jahan Dotson has inherited in Philly. Because when Smith and A.J. Brown are healthy, there aren't going to be targets for him.
And Goddard
at tight end.
And they'll throw to Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's a lot of mouths to feed there in Philly. So he's kind of getting left out. But if a guy gets injured or a guy's reduced because of a hamstring injury, whatever, he could play a bigger role.
We should give people a heads up that Thursday Night Football, of course, is on Amazon now. And the NFL Films crew was in studio with us on Monday. Will probably be featured on their pregame show for 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah, so yeah, featured's a strong word.
But keep your eye out for their package where they go back and forth from Philadelphia radio to Washington radio and the setup of the rivalry game.
Record it because you'll probably miss the blur.
Yeah. You'll probably hear Cakes' voice or something.
When the team is in the local markets, is it still only on Amazon?
No, they can't get it over the air. They're required to show it over the air.
Oh, they are.
In the local markets.
What network is it? Is it a Fox game?
From a guy that doesn't have Amazon Prime.
No, I do.
You do?
Yeah, I got it.
I would think it would be Fox because, you know, two NFC East teams, think.
I didn't know.
But yeah, over the air they have to show. I think that's a league.
My wife watches Amazon every night on her iPad.
Oh. By the way, I didn't realize this until yesterday. Al Michaels, who's calling the game, he just turned 80.
Wow.
Al Michaels, 80 years old, still calling NFL games.
Right.
Good for him.
People say he's lost his fastball.
Yeah. I was told our package on Thursday Night Football will air right around 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Really?
Yep. Maybe a couple minutes after, he said.
Did he give us any inclination if it's going to be more than 5 seconds?
No, this is when he was here. He told me that.
Are they going to do the typical radio little digital thing, or not even digital, the analog little
Rubicon?
What is it called?
Rubicon.
The Rubicon.
I don't think Amazon does that, if I recall when they used this in the past. And I think it actually might be more than 5 seconds. It might be like 2 or 3 clips from our show, 2 or 3 clips from a Philly show.
I'd be shocked if it's 2 or 3. Usually, it's a lot of cutting
room
floor.
Find out tomorrow night.
But they're nice guys, so it's cool.
They're very nice.
It's cool they do that.
Super nice. The guy that was in here, we found out, was an NFL player for 8 years. Then Jason looked him up, and he was a lawyer, too.
He went to law school, UCLA.
He's a renaissance man.
He was drafted in the second round.
What's he doing, holding a camera for freaking NFL film?
No, he's a producer. He wasn't holding the camera.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was the both.
Played 8 years in the league.
That's crazy. Then the injury report, and it really looks like Marshawn Lattimore's not going to play. All right. Another did not practice. They're just nursing the hamstring. I don't think Seibert's going to be back either.
B-Rob? What's latest on B-Rob?
Cakes couldn't have been more wrong when Cakes said his hammy's going to suddenly be perfectly fine when he lands in Washington.
Look, one of his rare misses.
It is one of our rare misses. Here's what I was basing that on. It's basically on Davante Adams.
Right.
Davante Adams had a hamstring injury, but then as soon as he was reunited with his BFF Aaron Rodgers, who sucks, by the way, he was all of a sudden healthy. He was out of the field.
In particular use the back padding machine a lot.
Sure.
When you're dead wrong on something like that, what should we have?
a nothing burger. Nothing. It just goes by the wayside. Everybody has hits and misses.
Of course.
Trust me. So, everybody does.
So yesterday was
back to using the dunce
yesterday
cap.
Was just a walkthrough. So the injury report, like you said yesterday, was just kind of an estimation.
Mm-hmm.
But B-Rob did practice.
Mm-hmm. But was limited.
But
just a walkthrough.
He's pretty optimistic. I think somebody else talked to him. He's pretty optimistic. I'm telling you, I think I bet Cakes $2. I think B-Rob's playing.
I'm still standing by not playing. Though I'm not very good at predicting hamstring injuries, apparently. It's not my thing.
It's not your forte,
Kay. No, it is not.
Speaking of injuries, the Eagles could get some big help. It looks like their big offensive tackle, Jordan Mulata, could be back. He's practiced this week. I think he'd miss four games. Dante Fowler talks about how huge that dude is, how talented he is. So that'll be unfortunately some more reinforcements for an Eagles team that's really kind of hitting all cylinders right now. We're kind of banged up. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a tough challenge.
That's going to help their running game even more.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of those games where Philadelphia could run for well over 150 yards.
Oh, yeah.
They could. I mean, yeah.
That's kind of what the Commanders give up every game. So I'm fully expecting them to be.
Well, they averaged 176.
Yeah.
Well,
they're, you know,
on the ground.
I was talking about the FanDuel player prop numbers yesterday, and they've got Barkley at 90.5 rushing yards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty big number.
Substantial number.
They're expecting him to do some damage.
You know, I watched that clip of him jumping over backwards and everything again, and it is just absurd. And they're asking everybody, and Jaden, they're asking Jaden if he saw it. He says, yeah, I think the whole world's seen that.
Yeah, I mean, we asked Brian Robinson yesterday, and Brian Robinson was amazed that he's never seen anything like it. I mean, the spin move itself was great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he didn't even have the hurdle, it was a great run.
But just sort of
because he spun and had like four guys trying to tackle him.
It literally was a video game move. Mm-hmm. It was like something you would see on Madden.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And then how high is he to hurdle that guy? And I understand the guy's bending down to tackle him.
Yeah, it's just crazy. The instincts there are just insane.
I feel like he's probably the only guy in the league that can do that.
You would think. But anyway, it's going to be a tough challenge. Jason pointed out to me that CBS, their site, they've got some interesting things there. First of all, they're ranking the rookie quarterbacks. And I think they're kind of harsh with Jaden. They have Jaden, I think, is the top-rated one. But they only give Jaden a B on the season. They give him a C-minus for last week, and I thought it wasn't his best game, but I think C-minus is a little harsh. But a B on the season?
Yeah.
He only gets a B? They give Bo Nix a C on the season. They give Caleb a C+. They give Drake May a B- on the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then
some
they
harsh
have,
graders.
Then they have some other like second-year guys. I don't even care about them.
So you would have thought...
I would have thought Jaden would get
B plus,
it. B plus, A minus lower. On the season.
Yeah.
And I would have thought last week, I mean, if you want to give him, I would probably give him maybe a B minus. I mean, I think he was great.
There was somebody trolling us on Twitter yesterday at Junks Radio who said, do you know who the leader in touchdowns is and the leader in completions and the leader in all these categories? And it is Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think yards might be another one.
We talked about that, yeah.
But it doesn't take into consideration quarterback rating, QBR, completion percentage, efficiency, running yards.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I don't think anybody thinks that Bo Nix is as good as Jaden Daniels.
Jaden's raw passing numbers aren't that great because they do run the football. He runs the football, but it's the efficiency.
They have their power rankings out, and the loss seems to have damaged the Commanders in some eyes. So at CBS, they went from 10th, or they went from 6th to 10th cakes in their power rankings.
Not too bad of a drop.
Not a huge drop, but you know, it was a 1-point loss to a 7-2 team.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, even though they've been kind of feel like very fortunate to be where they are, they're number one. The Lions number two. Bills 3, Ravens, Valdez's Ravens 4, they're up a tick. The Steelers are up a tick to 5, Eagles 6, Vikings, Packers, Chargers, then the Commanders. Hmm. That's your top 10 power rankings in the NFL. Likewise, if you look at Super Bowl odds, if you want to throw some cash right now, you'd get plus 400 on the Chiefs, plus 450 on the Lions. If you want to throw $100 on the Commanders to win a Super Bowl, you net $2,500.
Ooh, 25-1. That's kind of spicy.
It's not bad, right?
To win or just to get there?
I thought it was to win, no?
I think it's to win, yeah.
I think that's to win. Who'll be hosting the Lombardi Trophy? Yeah, to win.
Last week they were 22-1.
Yeah, so they went down a little bit.
Tiny bit.
25. I don't know.
I see here updated numbers on FanDuel, 30-1.
Wow. So you go to FanDuel, you could get, you put 100 bucks, you win $3,000.
It's 30 to, yeah.
Travis, why don't you put 50 bucks on my boys? You don't feel confident. They don't have the guy.
I lied enough money on fire.
He needs to keep the powder dry.
If you had to throw a long shot bet right now on any of these teams that are like realistic, that are in the top 10 or so.
Bengals.
You'd get a good number on that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Just because I think they're the most talented, even, and the wild card situation in the AFC is a lot of those teams can get back in it.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers
Plus
are kind of
the Raiders this week.
Steelers are kind of.
I think it's the Raiders.
Long shot too.
No, it's not the Raiders. It's the Chargers.
Yeah, Steelers are 35-1.
I still think you're getting pretty good value if you bet on the Ravens. But
why are they even offering teams like the Giants?
I don't know.
To get free money.
I mean, they're actually
offering. Because there are dummies out there that'll still bet the Giants. That'll grab.
Because you would get 100. You put 100 bucks, you get 100 grand.
Yeah, I mean. Well, but it's impossible
to
win.
Getting $100.
Hey, Drabby, that's the best sweat. Come on, man.
It's literally impossible to win that.
The Raiders. You should get 2 million. You should get 100 million.
You should get
Raiders.
A trillion to one on the Raiders. I'm sure the Raiders are going to win with Gardner Minshew or Aiden
Is there
O'Connell.
Any chance anybody on FanDuel bets that the Carolina Panthers or the Patriots or the Giants will win?
There might
the
be some locals.
Very few.
There are probably some local guys.
They just throw in 15, 20 bucks.
Never forget, the Redskins were 3-7 in evaluation mode, and they went to the playoffs.
True, but they didn't get to the Super Bowl.
I know, but if they were in the wild card, and you start hedging, and you got 100 grand on the
yeah,
you start hedging.
Right.
Take that cash out.
Right. I think they might have been 3-6, but neither here nor there.
It was close to that.
Yeah.
Still salty. My AFC wild card picks this year for our playoff predictions are the Bengals, the Bills, and the Dolphins. 1 out of 3, I guess, not too bad.
Well, you still got
but
a shot.
Those other two?
Bengals.
Dicey.
Still got a shot.
Some people believe the Dolphins can make a run.
I think yesterday
Seems
I saw
like
they have
a long
25% chance of making the playoffs, something around there.
Anyway,
their odds.
It's a big one, and we're, how many hours away? I'm bad at this. About 36 hours away, something like that, in that range.
Well, they play at 8:15 tomorrow night.
So we're about 12 hours from 12. Now, 24, yeah. 36, yeah. 37 mm-hmm. hours away. Big turnaround for both teams.
Hey, our nation's heroes need your support. If you have an old car or extra vehicle you no longer need, donating to the Purple Heart Foundation can provide critical assistance to vets and their families. Donating cars easy. You get free pickup and a tax receipt. And veterans will get the life-saving support they need. Visit purpleheartfoundation.org to donate a car and help our heroes. We need your support today. That's thepurpleheartfoundation.org. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. You heard from the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry. At 7, of course, you can watch all Caps games on the Monumental Sports Network. Coming up at 8 o'clock. Give you a chance to go to a Caps game. We have Caps tickets and Wizards tickets online. We'll play some fact or fiction. But joining us right now is Chris Doering, former Gator wide receiver, former NFL vet, current analyst for ESPN SEC Network, co-host of SEC This Morning on SiriusXM. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. What's up? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to be back, man. Can't believe we're almost done with this year, man.
I know.
It's flown by, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone by quick.
I mean, we're in week 12. Hey, give me your thoughts on, I texted CD this yesterday, but the just in general, the Georgia-Ole Miss game, what you thought of that, why, oh, and by the way, the fact that the fans stormed the field with 16 seconds to play, and I read Lane Kiffin's lips, he goes, this is effing ridiculous, and you know, they had to get them all off the field, they were on the sidelines, basically behind the teams, which was crazy for the last 16 seconds. But just give me your thoughts on the game, why Georgia has struggled, especially with Carson Beck. He's thrown 12 picks in his last 6 games.
Yeah, so the first and foremost, I guess Ole Miss maybe not used to having those types of wins. We've been talking about a signature win for Lane Kiffin and hadn't really had one until Saturday afternoon. And so they get hit with the double fine, man. Double field storming, double fine from the SEC, which...
That's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, and that money goes to the other team. How about that? Georgia getting $350,000 for Ole Miss rushing the field. Seems like it should go to charity, but I digress.
I didn't know that. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Your question about Georgia, I thought the thing that stood out to me This is a team that typically, when you turn the TV on, they're the more athletic team, they're the stronger team, they're the more aggressive team. But I thought you could tell pretty quickly that it was Ole Miss that was actually the better team. They were the ones that they were the aggressors, and you're not used to seeing that with Georgia. It's a testament to Lane Kiffin and what he's been able to build there. This team seems to be kind of peaking at the right time. But I look at Georgia, they were probably one of the last teams to truly be affected by the transfer portal and NIL stuff. But even they have lost. They don't have that same depth of talent that they used to have. So they're struggling, man. They don't have the secondary play that they've had in years past. They get beat on a lot of explosive pass plays. They don't have the pass rush to help cover up some of those deficiencies in the secondary like they used to. They definitely don't have the offensive line. I mean, they can't protect, as you saw on Saturday. Five sacks by Ole Miss, and on all five sacks, it was four or less rushers. So they didn't even have to bring pressure to get home to Carson Beck. And they're only running but they ran the ball for 1.8 yards per carry. So You ask what's wrong with Carson Beck, I ask what's wrong with the pieces around him. Now, obviously, he can't confound the problems that are going on around him by turning the football over. But I just think he's trying to do too much just because he doesn't have the Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers and Kendall Milton and Dejon Edwards and those pieces that have been around him last year. And he's trying to make too many plays. But they're in a serious situation right now because it doesn't stop, as Kirby said, in the SEC. And they've got to find a way to turn the page and get ready for Tennessee this weekend.
Chris, were you surprised at how Alabama just went into Death Valley and annihilated LSU 42-13? Milroe was awesome. He had 185 yards rushing, four rushing scores. And if you're LSU, you just can't turn the ball over three times against that Alabama team. It was just utter dominance by the Tide.
Well, forget about all of that stuff. I'm with you, man. But, like, Jalen Milroe ran for 155 yards last year and four touchdowns. If I'm going into that game, if I'm Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator, I don't care about anybody else on that team beating me. I'm not letting Jalen Milroe beat me with his legs. And not only did he do what he did last year, he exceeded that with 185 yards rushing on just 12 carries, had four touchdowns again. And I thought the overall speed, I mean, Jalen Milroe is the best player on the field with the ball in his hands in the SEC. But you look at that entire Alabama offense, they look fast, whether we're talking about the receivers or we're talking about pulling linemen. It was like two times speed for what LSU's defense was moving. I thought it was a terrible plan. I don't know what they did during the bye week, as Brian Kelly kind of mentioned there, but just like Ole Miss, I think Ole Miss is peaking at the right time and one of the most dangerous teams in the country, and I think Alabama's right there as well. You forget they got dudes on that team, particularly on the defense, and everybody seems to be feeling more comfortable in the new schemes under Kalen DeBoer, and they're playing a lot faster and a lot more aggressive now.
So the one thing I'd like a lot of things about the 12-team playoff, but these teams, I mean, there are so many huge games, whereas, you know, in years past when they had the four teams, you know, there were three or four teams, maybe five, that still had a shot at breaking in. Now you got like 25 teams that are still in the mix playing huge games. Georgia's playing a huge game against Tennessee. You just mentioned it at home. It's a play-in game. I mean, it's a do-or-die game for Georgia. If they lose to Tennessee, that's three losses. They're done. And actually, based on the rankings that came out last night, Georgia would be out because Boise State would take that 12th spot. So I just love the fact that now we're in week 12 and there are so many teams, you know, like Colorado playing Utah. It's a huge game for Colorado.
It's crazy because everybody's argument about expanding the playoffs was, oh, you're going to de-emphasize regular season games. And I think it's been quite the opposite. I mean, for about a month now, we've had big games that were going to determine a team's ability to play in the postseason in the college football playoff. And so I think it's enhanced the game. I mean, obviously we have more parity, and you can say what you want about the transfer portal and all, but it's evened out the talent, obviously. I believe that there's a good chance that you're going to have six or maybe seven 10-2 teams in the SEC by the time it all plays out. But, yeah, you mentioned the sense of urgency in Athens this week. I thought for sure that you go 10-2 in the SEC, you're going to get in. I'm not sure that's the case. 9-3's got no chance now, given what we're seeing. But you know, Georgia has a they don't have any margin for error. Ole Miss went into that game on Saturday and didn't have any margin for error and played, you know, with their hair on fire. And I think you go back to the NFL. Look at in years past, like the Steelers getting in as a sixth seed and winning the Super Bowl, or the Giants that year they beat the Patriots as a sixth seed. Like, you have to play playoff games at the end of the regular season, and so you're kind of already in that playoff mode. I think that's where Georgia is. But don't get it mistaken. I mean, Tennessee has one loss right now, mm-hmm. but if they lose this ball game, they may be on, you know, the outside looking in as a 10-2 team based upon what we're already seeing. And how about that? Alabama would have lost earlier to Tennessee, and yet Alabama's thought to be in the playoff field if both teams finish 10-2. It's going to get messy, but it's a lot like what we see with the NCAA basketball tournament, where
right.
you know, we're arguing about 65 or 69, 70, 71, and 72.
I think it's awesome. Now, I don't know if this will happen, but let's just say, you know, Penn State finishes as the five, right, as an at-large. They'll be hosting a team. They might host a team like Ole Miss or like yeah. Georgia. Can you imagine Georgia playing up at Happy Valley in a game in December that means, you know, it's for a playoff? We'd never yeah. seen that. I mean, that's just incredible.
It's going to be awesome. And as much as, you know, everybody's fighting for the top four seeds to get that bye,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty awesome to think about the idea of hosting a home playoff game and the advantage that you have there. And honestly, you know, I look at the SEC right now, we're talking about not only do we know we don't know who's going to be in the playoff field, we don't know who's going to be in Atlanta. I don't know we've ever been this late in the season and had zero idea who was going to be representing the conference in the SEC championship game. But it almost, in a way, is a disadvantage. I mean, I'm interested to see if any of these teams with two losses go to the SEC championship and lose, how the committee's going to view them with that third loss.
Hey, real quick, before we let you go, just wanted to switch gears and just talk about how staggering the switch from Florida State season last year to Florida State this year. Norvell just fired, you know, a bunch of coordinators. He's 1-9. He was 13-0 last year and got snubbed from the playoff, and now he's 1-9. I can't believe the drop off. I've never seen that before from a team that was so good last year. And you're a Florida Gator, so I know you root against the Seminoles, or maybe not so much anymore. But just talk about how bad of a season, how everything has gone wrong for Florida State.
No, I was going to say, man, it's awesome. It couldn't happen to a better group of people.
All right, good. That's what I expected.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I did feel like it was a disappointing situation for them after they went through last year, and the loss of their quarterback, you know, certainly was hurtful. But, you know, I think what you saw was what a really good quarterback, Jordan Travis, can do to cover up deficiencies. Obviously, they lose Keon Coleman from that team last year. They lose their running back and some key defensive players. But to think about a place like Florida State not being able to, you know, just be close to 500. I mean, they're on a terrible losing streak within the ACC right now. They got embarrassed on Saturday by Notre Dame. I'm sure you guys all saw the statistic about the weekend and Miami saving the day for the state of Florida, but it's a it's a stark reality of what college football is now. Like, every year is a new season, and the ability to build a program is challenging. And so I think that they found themselves in a difficult spot now, giving an extension. You know, they had to pay Willie Taggart a bunch of money. The financial aspects of all of this in college athletics and college football specifically, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, especially with the congressional ruling on some of the money that's going to have to be paid to past players.
Now, they'll get their second win next weekend because they play Charleston Southern. But don't lose to them Thanksgiving weekend, bro. Florida has to go to Florida State.
You know this, bro. The we talk about it. Florida's win total heading into the season was 4.5. I thought they'd get to 7 or 8 wins. Yeah. I desperately need them to get that fifth win. Get it this week against LSU, Ole Miss that following week, but at least I got the solace that they got Florida State at the end of the season, and that cannot lose that ball game.
Yeah.
You're going to be sweating that one, Chris.
That would be embarrassing.
Big sweat.
No doubt.
Yeah. All right, CD, appreciate the time, buddy. Have a great weekend. And
good to be with you, boys.
We'll talk to you soon. Have a great holiday if we don't talk to you.
Yeah, likewise, man. Yep. Y'all take care.
All right, take care, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's funny, man.
I was just prepping.
I figured he was still, you know, rooting hard against Florida State.
He's never going to root for him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he feels bad for some of the guys or if he knows any of the coaches.
I don't think he feels bad at
but
all.
He probably loves the fact that they're 1-9 and just getting blown out by everybody they play.
I was just prepping some fact or fiction for the next segment. By the way, we're going to give away Caps tickets and Wizards tickets on a game show Wednesday. You can call now at 800-636-1067. I'm going to tell you that this is a fact.
Okay.
But it feels like a fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the NBA standings. Right, Wizards are near the bottom. They're
two
not even
six,
at the bottom.
2-7.
They're 2-7.
Love it.
Yeah. Sixers are 2-8. The Raptors are 2-10.
Got some competition for that number one pick.
There are only two teams in the entire Eastern Conference with winning records.
Right.
Wow.
Eastern not very good.
Cleveland and Boston.
That's it.
Yeah.
A couple teams are 500, but that's a terrible, terrible conference.
And in the West, there's 8 or 9. Actually, there's probably 10.
Can you make the argument that we're in the playoff hunt still? Like, how many games do we have to win?
Wizards?
Yeah.
They're a game back.
They're only
game back of the
play-in. Yeah.
Yeah,
don't you dare mention the talk P word when it comes to the Wizards.
800-636-1067. We'll do game show Wednesday next here on The Fan.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.